Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh.
The Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and here with me is the delightful, the enchanting, the radiant, the truly exquisite Janine Kimmel. Yay! Welcome to the show,
Janine. Hello, everybody. I'm happy to be here tonight, this rainy night from Jersey. And
it's raining diamonds. It's raining diamonds.
Yeah, I happen to like it. It's nice. And
there you go.
So, yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. It's our Christmas show, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Or Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah. I think it's so funny. Yes, I was raised Jewish, and I have a few Jewish friends around me. I believe tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, though. So Happy Hanukkah to
perfect.
All our Jewish listeners. Yep, and this is one of the most Christed conscious seasons I've ever experienced. There is a lot of polarity going on. The poles on each side are just intensely raging right now. I mean, the intense dark and the intense light. And I have been blessed lately to have been finding the divine center in this. And doing a whole lot of laughing, a whole lot of sharing, a whole lot of creativity, and the insights. I mean, it is just, for me personally, the unbelievable clarity has been pouring into my experience in days of late. And I was talking to Janine before we even went on the air, and, you know, the truth is, it's like, you know, I'm kind of on a high, but I'm not coming down. You know, the other shoe hasn't dropped, and none of that. It's a clarity that is, to me, very clearly a momentum mover and builder.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a momentum that, like, you know, I even though I'm still quite not quite sure what the goal is. In other words, I'm not quite sure how it's manifesting, but I know it's running through me. And, I mean, the telltale signs are the laughter and the lightheartedness, the serenity of just being in the now moments is profound. I am not holding these spaces for, 3.1 seconds. I'm having entire afternoons and entire mornings strung together into entire evenings. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm having conversations with other people too that are having these experiences. My brother Simon, me and Janine, Punky Speltz, me and her. And I know I'm not the only one. I know it's all of us that are doing the work out there. It's starting to pay off, and I'm really stoked. 2012 is going to be an incredibly magical year. For the people that have, you know, been connecting with their essence. I was cracking up at myself when I heard the show last night. God, Goldie's come a long way since 2010. Yes, Janine's information is still totally on point. Me, I've evolved. Yes, I was so much in
isn't
my
that,
head in that show.
Isn't that fun, though?
Well, it is. It's, you know what makes it fun? First of all, that, you know, it's almost like, you know, when we watch the Brady kids grow up on the Brady Bunch and... you know, we've had these shows are Full House. We watched the twins grow up. You know, the truth is, I'm growing up on the air, and it is the absolute growing up might not be the best word. I am growing aware on the air. Ah, I like that. And it is. It's incredibly. It's like a it's a verbal journal. This radio show for me, and I do. I love it because the more aware I am, the more gentle I am with myself and loving with myself, that I can play things that, you know, don't necessarily, I don't agree with the wisdom today, but I can allow it to air and feel good about it. So besides, Janine, your wisdom in the interview last night, it was totally on point. I mean, you really, you are exquisite.
Okay.
I am
well,
you're welcome.
You.
You're very welcome. So.
Well, you know, I think that I got to, the beauty of that is that I last night's, you know, interview that you did in August of 2010 was really all about the magic gown. And the magic gown was a process for me to write and to make the art. But it was such an influx into me of wisdom, and I put it down on paper and with color and paintings, and, you know, that's really like, that was exactly what you're saying right now about what you're feeling and what you're experiencing is what the magic gown was doing in story form and what I was feeling when I was writing it. And
right on.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful because it encapsulates that, and so, you know, and just really tying that in so perfectly right now for tonight's show. Golden Hawk and I talked, and, you know, I'm very, very inspired to want to give a caller or callers a signed copy of the Magic Gown from me personally, signed to you. So, you know, if there's a caller that wants to call in and share something and tell us about, you know, what's going on, and, you know, if they're feeling it and dropping into their heart. But I'd love to share a signed copy of my book with you. So
yay!
Just going to put that out there. It's always fun for me to give. So, so anyway, I wanted to say that. Another funny thing, when Golden Hawk said that she was waiting for the other shoe to drop, but it's not, and I had the, you know, I have these thoughts in my head, and I go, well, that's because you're barefoot.
That's true. We go organic now.
Right, we're all organic. So I was like, oh. So, you know, I just wanted to share that funny little thing. And
you're nothing. I love it.
You know, because it's all nature related, and it's all organic, and I was just listening to something you said to me, oh, I don't know, was it 4 months ago, when you said about the earth, that she is a being. And, no matter how many times I hear that, I just can't get over it. Like, it strikes me as so beautiful, you know. And that's another thing about the magic gown, that, you know, the whole book is about that nature is a living being. And so just tonight when I was listening right before the show to that link that you put up with, what's his name, Drumvalo
Mokizildek, yeah.
When he spoke, he said the same thing just maybe 10 minutes before the show started, that the earth is a living being, and that so many people don't really realize that or recognize that they're living on a living being. It's almost like I can't put it into words how amazing I think that is and how beautiful that is. And, you know, how if someone reads the Magic Gown, they're going to get that's what I was feeling when I was writing that, when I was painting it. So anyway, in fact, I was so touched, and I am so touched, and I feel like I've dropped into another place of depth, that I was like, wow, this show, I don't know what it's going to be like tonight, because I'm feeling so, I don't know, in my heart, and you know, just touched, you know. But so it's a beautiful thing, and it's a soft thing, and so that's where I'm at tonight. And the funny thing is Golden Hawk posts a tree on our Mystical Mother Earth show.
Now, just so you know, though, tonight, because it's a special.
Oh, that's okay. But yeah,
and I was doing it on a different computer. I didn't have the tree. So tonight's episode page doesn't have the tree, yes.
But if anyone notices that tree with the doorway in it, it is from the book, and it's the fourth door. And it's the fourth door of seven, and none of this was planned. So it's not like when I wrote this book or painted these paintings, I had any idea of numbers or what would happen, but it's the fourth door, which I called the point of no return. It's the doorway where you get this most incredible magical spring tree honey. It's truly the sweetest of doors, right. And it's the heart of the land. And I say that it's the heart of the land. It's where the movement is the dancing. It's the dancing movement. And so, you know, it's so funny because I said to Golden Hawk, it's no wonder we've dropped into this hard place. We've been, you know, it's the door into the tree. It's the fourth door. It's the point of no return. And it's a great place, you know. So once you pass through there, there's no going back. And none of us want to.
Exactly.
I'm also just witnessing my own progress, and talking on the radio has done that, and it's helped me. I feel it, you know, and I'm so grateful, and I love doing it. So that's all I have to say right now.
I love when you share. I'm telling you, it is becoming really apparent to me in whatever the expression the artist takes, whether it's food, music, paint, talking, it's becoming so apparent to me the multi-dimensions behind what we are experiencing from others. You know, it's like, I mean, I have such a sense of depth and quality when I see your paintings. I mean, Janine's Christmas card is, I don't have it. It's at my house, and I'm at Scott's.
It's the Shimmering Forest. It's my
The Shimmering Forest. Did you hear that, Simon? The Shimmering Forest. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yes, sorry.
It's my most recent painting, and it was an interesting process. But what I think is interesting, why I chose it, and I didn't. Once again, I didn't know that I chose it for these reasons, but it is the most current expression for me. And, it revealed something. It's like electric. It's shimmering. It's alive. It's magical. And, you know, I used it as my holiday greeting card. I'll post it so everyone can see it. I'll post
right
it
on. Thank you. Okay.
On Facebook. On my site. I guess that
well, and if you
good.
Just put Golden Hawk, it'll show up on my wall. If you
oh,
just,
good.
You can
yeah.
either tag me
yeah.
or put my name in it. That's how, yeah. Okay. Because if not, I'll bring it on. I mean, either way, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, that's actually better. So I will definitely do that because I've been sending it around as well. And I'd love for people to see it, but it's called The Shimmering Forest, and, it's definitely a magical place, and it's definitely a beautiful dimension. So
yeah, well, art is so much more than just paint on paper. I mean, you know, I'm experiencing Simon's art. I'm experiencing your art.
That's beautiful.
And I'm experiencing other, like, there's this woman I found we're friends on Facebook. She does this amazing pencil art. And I was on her site right before
that.
The show.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she has these. She's working with the spirals
it.
A lot. Oh, did you go to where I liked and then you see the picture? I don't know how this works, but anyway.
I did.
Yeah, and it's like, well, we're not alone. I mean, and if I'm correct, she's either in Russia or Czechoslovakia. You know, she's not around the corner, and it's like I mean, literally the world, we're all drawing and sharing, mm-hmm. and not all of us, but the people that are all resonating with me, you know, our family of experience is very much in sync with everybody. I mean, everything just... There are words that you'll say that me and Simon have talked about, you know, or there's things that he'll say that me and you have talked about, or Punky will have, you know, something to be said. There's just, like, everything is becoming so clearly, like, there's a source, and all the beings that are, you know, close in my life are the cogs on the wheel. And it has nothing to do, well, and I hope that doesn't sound, including me, I'm a cog, too, you know, I'm not the center, I'm just experiencing everybody as a whole, expressing like the same stuff, you know, clarity, wisdom, lightness, a sense of time not being there, totally being present. It's like, I mean, the words coming out of our mouths is mastery. We are experiencing intense, elongated moments of time of mastery. And, you know, well, goddamn! You know, I think that's a reason to celebrate.
Definitely. And, you know, in the last 2 days, the word that's been coming to me that sort of pairs with mastery or is similar to mastery is excellence.
Yeah!
It's just a word, you know, that I've been thinking about excellence and, yeah, so mastery and excellence, they're right there, and they just seem to be in alignment with, you know, the creative act, and by no means does that have anything to do with, you know, perfection.
You know? Oh, absolutely not, you're right. Isn't that a paradox, because it is the perfection of the moment,
well,
but it's
right,
not...
it's perfection in itself, but I mean, you know,
it's not a
line.
Standard of perfection. It's not.
No,
this is not a mental creation.
Drawn, you know, they're excellence. They're masterful, but they have nothing to do with, you know, maybe like to me what our culture has done to children in terms of, you know, what it is to be an artist or what it is to be creative. It has nothing to do with that. You know, it has anything expressed from the heart is to me a place of mastery and excellence. You know, I just feel that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so, there's deep wisdom in the heart. I mean, a deep clarity of just, like, I'm finding the interchanges or the exchanges that I'm having. I mean, Janine, we had one the other day. Me and Janine were on the phone at 5:30 in the morning. We took a small break at 7:30, got back on the phone till 9:30. And laughed and was, I mean, it was just amazing. It was like the best way I can explain it, it's like being in the presence of presence. You know, it's like everything had this sparkle. You know, it's so funny because, you know, even Simon said, he was like, I feel like we're shimmering. I'm going, oh, my God, you know, like. But it is. It's the quality of, you know, everything Peter Pan-like. And, you know, we're young and we're vital and we're, and I don't want to say young, I'm going to say it even better. It's a purity and an innocence, but it's not necessarily from naivety. Mm-hmm. It's just from the sheer surrender of being in time. It's just the presence expressing itself and, the clarity, I'm an energy junkie and I love wisdom. I mean, I'm an educator. You know, I've been told by, you know, a channeler many, many moons ago, he's like, you have educator in your soul group colors. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't surprise me because an educator, of course, would be, you know, also a lifelong student. And I love learning. I love it. I am driven not by logic or reason. This is from the Carolyn Mace work. I am not driven by logic and reason. I am driven by the desire to know. What I feel I'm coming to this point of knowing is sovereignty. I want to know everything that I need nothing. You know, I'm just being, and I need nothing. I can play with everything, but I need nothing. And And it is. It's happening. I'm popping out of the matrix. I'm in the matrix, but I'm no longer functioning from within the matrix. I am witnessing myself in the matrix, which means I'm not in the matrix. Because if you're in the matrix, you don't. You're experiencing those frequencies as being real, and they're not. They're not real. They're belief systems. They're conditionings. They are not.
Right.
What is?
Well, and that is exactly, you know, that Drumvalo, I was just listening to that, and he was saying what you and I have been talking about and feeling in that. He was saying that, you know, that we can see this, well, that to me, the what we believed to be true or what we were told was true, that flipping the belief systems is actually feeling so correct right now, and when I do that, I'm seeing things differently. It's as if, you know, and as I do that, what we were saying before is that we're moving into new paradigms or dimensions or places as we drop these belief systems. I mean, and we've been talking about this for a while now, but
yes, we have.
I am feeling it more and more of the importance, and I'm sharing that with the people that I do therapy with, or, you know, I discuss about, you know, moving through life, that that I suggest, I go, just consider flipping that belief system to the other way of looking at it, as the way you thought you was the opposite, and it's remarkable how that's making sense, you know, and reality just seems to be, I think that's what you're feeling. We're moving into this other place, and it's not that kind of feeling. It's not going away because it's very organic, and it's real.
It's real.
Yeah,
it is. This
right,
frequency
right.
is a real space
right.
that, you know, and it's so funny because I've never felt so confident that my imagination is absolutely the tool that I am most grateful that is, what's the word? I'm connected with my imagination. If there was anything I would tell people, you know, if you're saying, how do you flip beliefs? Learn to utilize imagination. Learn to understand imagination
right.
is just, that's a belief. Flip that the imagination is not real. Incorrect. Wrong answer. It is not only real, it really is. It's what builds the bridges into these realities, because the flipping of the belief is literally the experiencing of life from another dimensional reality. I mean, completely new dimension. And this is a great segue. Do you mind? I just want to read a part of a conversation me and Simon had. And
definitely.
Okay, because me and Simon have these incredible conversations. We don't feed off of each other. We are inspired by each other's energy and openness and sharing. And we had this conversation earlier today, and I was like, I've got to share it with the radio. So, all right, so here it goes. And this is all about, me and Simon are talking about flipping belief systems. And based on the picture that is now my profile picture, which is a picture by Simon. So I said, it's all in the perspective. That is what I am remembering. So is Janine. You know, our joy and our playfulness and our experiences depend on what I believe. And Simon said, I now see in my own mind that beliefs are doors. They are actually doors to the inner and outer world. And then I responded, every single moment of what I live comes from a belief. So if I don't like a certain part, the key is to flip the belief. The experience will flip itself. Okay, be right back making tea. Sorry, I had to add that in. And then Simon goes, yes, it's quite brilliant, in fact. I feel it relates much to the ego, which is an aspect I haven't touched too much on. But right now, the beliefs we carry in our own mind feel very much like the ceiling of a house, the boundaries of the ego. And I was like, right on. Different realities have different doors. opening one door will lead to a new reality. And Simon said, and with those belief systems, you have a technique to walk freely in your mind. And then, of course, we went on to tell each other how brilliant we are. Me and Simon are not scarce with compliments and adoring of each other. And I highly recommend that. New relationships should all be about supporting each other's genius. There's no jealousy involved in this. It is about the genius in him helps the genius in me shine. And we both know it. Me and Janine know it. Me and Punky know it. It's a true testimony to somebody who's doing the work that they can share the support of. Because me and Simon don't agree on everything, but we agree on each other bringing out our strength and knowing that this is the place to shine like a supernova. Shine on. Our strength does not scare each other. It inspires each other. And you know, that's powerful stuff. That is powerful stuff. So I wanted to share that with everybody. There's more, but the part that I really wanted to share because of Janine with her trees and the doorways was the understanding how everything was fitting together, that exactly that belief flipping is about literally door number one, door number two, and, of course, these doors are infinite. It's like every new belief is potentially walking you through a door that will have an experience and a reality that forms to that belief. So try on lots of doorways and lots of beliefs. Mm-hmm. Tweak it as much as you want. You know, this is, again, this is about understanding we're not going to focus on what's right and what's wrong. We're going to focus on the experience of that belief. And if it feels good, keep tweaking it. If it feels bad, keep tweaking it. You know, it's a, we were totally, this is the spiral. It's a never-ending experience. You know, this is just about, it's about becoming more and more conscious that we have the ability to tweak the doors that we're going to walk through. I mean, totally. And it comes from the frequencies of, you know, if you open a door and there's something scary, the first move is not to slam the door shut and go, no, I don't want to go there. Because the one thing I have in common with everybody I dance with is we're all willing to face our demons. This isn't about just the happy doors getting opened. This is about the doors to our soul and our self. And we're here to choose to experience those doors. Whew, that was hot.
Yeah. No, it's great. I mean, first of all, I think that when we're playing like that or we're interacting like that, one's genius activates another's genius, and then, you know, we just play off of each other, and it's like a dance, and it's, you know, and it's an activation, and it's fun, and you can feel it happening.
Yeah.
And it was really just another, you know, once again, I mean, the unfolding and the beautiful, you know, like I can't even express that. I say, well, isn't it amazing that somewhere right before the December 1st, you know, I came out with something funny and spontaneous that said, okay, let's make December Find Your Genius Month. And then, you know, but it does feel like a very highly creative genius time, you know, another thing I want to say about moving through these doorways is the word encouragement is constantly in my book. It's constantly something I'm always supporting, because I almost think that flipping the belief system that someone who would think that they're not safe moving through these doorways, even if they're confronting, you know, difficult places where you might find resistance, the flipping of the belief system is, this is exactly where you're supposed to be. This is exactly what you should confront, and that truly there is a safety there, and maybe more safe than you can even imagine, because I also believe that that's an old paradigm. I think that's an old artificial structure or something.
Archetype.
To hold you back from your genius, from moving into endless doorways of knowledge, of growth, of you know, I just, it's like once you start, it's beautiful, you don't stop. But those places where you feel the resistance is exactly where you're supposed to be, and it's great. It's just flipping the belief system to think that it's not, because it is. It's, you know,
it's exactly
it's the soul's encouragement going, no, this is your breakthrough moment, and then you'll feel it, and you'll know you're safe, and you know. I mean, we've experienced it, Golden Hawk, right, over and over
Absolutely.
And over again.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, and so, you know, I guess encouragement is the word for me to
right
share,
on,
to
yeah.
share, you know, yeah, to encourage some people and
well,
because you know.
There's some level of truth that, you know, everybody's going to experience this. This is not like, you know, there are other timelines and frequencies where you could almost choose, do I want to awaken or do I want to continue, you know, kind of in the matrix. But
yeah.
at this particular point where we are in history right now, that choice has been, you know, trumped because mm-hmm. Mother Nature is awakening us.
Yeah.
The planet
and
you live on has made that decision. So now it's no longer, okay, if I choose to awaken, it's like, what are the tools I need to do this? Because it is upon us. It's
well, yeah,
simple as that.
Yeah, yeah. And the greatest ally is that to recognize that the Earth is a living being and that there's a resonance there and there's a truth there and there's
yeah.
a guidance there and there's a
yeah.
language there. And you almost, it's like you can't miss. You just can't if you...
Exactly,
If you align with that, you know, and so...
It can be the greatest party of change you've ever experienced. And I'm
yeah.
telling you, I'm living it. I have, like, no responsibilities until, like, January 5th. I'm having incredibly enlightened conversations with several of my friends. I'm meeting new friends. Nature is speaking to me. I was telling Janine just tonight, I was like, my sleep patterns are starting to become equivalent to the numbers of a newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm telling you, I recognize, you know, if like my soul has a plan for me, I am on a soul plan. I'm not on the plan that I believe I have free will doing this. I surrendered my free will joyfully to connect with my soul, because my soul has total knowledge of when these shifts are taking place, what's going on within the planet, within the galaxy, within my cells. You know, it is aware of the microcosm and the macrocosm. And in my infinite trust, I have learned that, you know, okay, you know, I swear, I don't feel guilty. I don't feel ashamed. I sleep for almost 10 hours a day. I have amazing conversations with friends and family. Me and my boyfriend are back together. I feel fantastic about that relationship. 2012 is coming down the pike. New Year's Eve, we're going to have a wedding ceremony with, you know, 50 of my greatest friends and loved ones, where we're all going to set the intention to connect to ourselves. You know, it's like I have great shows lined up. I've never felt so blessed from a societal point of view and have had the least. I'm not faking this. I'm not, you know, when Harry met Sally, having the orgasm in the in the restaurant
yeah.
just to prove
yeah.
that I can be a good faker. I am laughing more than I have ever laughed, not ever in my life, since I was a little kid. And I mean, like, you know, third and fourth grade. I'm having crack obsessions that are just, you know, that to me shows that's what's the goal in the ascension? The goal in the ascension is to become lighthearted. Well,
yeah.
then how does that look? Well, exactly what I just explained in for my life. I mean, I'm lighthearted about everything. I sleep when I want to sleep, eat when I want to eat, laugh when I, you know, when I'm with my friends, share about it. It's It's crazy. And listen, just so everybody knows, I do have a job. I am cleaning my father's house to pay my car taxes. I have some people who are doing, you know, take me, drive me to the airport kind of work. The work is showing up. It's just not showing up from nanny gigs. And my sustenance is my essence is my sustenance. It is my joy that makes it that I can make the money I need in whatever shows up, and then I can have 12 days of total recreation and play to do whatever I want. Mm. You know, these are the numbers the soul works with. It's not you work for 48 weeks out of the year and then 4 weeks you get vacation. That's not much more play and recreation when the soul is involved. Go ahead, babe.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, if you break that word into two, recreation, it's recreation.
Recreation, oh, right on.
I was like, oh, my God, she said, yeah. I mean, because, you know, so much of this, so, I mean, well, maybe all of it is about,
good catch.
It's about the unknown. I mean, the working in
right
creativity,
on.
The working in creativity, the working with your imagination, the working in the allowing the process of creating, you know, intuitively with sort of just those creative forces that, you know, you don't need to really truly identify. You just let them happen. It's the staying with that process. It's the moving through that, like, it really is real. It really is grounded. It lightheartedness.
Yeah.
This is the irony. Lightheartedness is grounded. It's not flighty. It's not temporary. You know, and in the Magic Gown book, if anyone was listening last night or wants to listen again, but the irony is that when the little girl goes into the great desert of uncertainty, it's when she discovers laughter and humor. It's where that quality of lightheartedness is the most wonderful resource. And it's when, you know, the stars pop out, and it's when she just kind of shifts into this new place. And it wasn't easy in that, walking in, taking those steps on her own into the great unknown was an act of, she did that. That was her doing. And it was the third door, by the way, and it's a double door.
Well, what's the name of the door, though? What is the third door? What is the name?
Well, the third door is, they're these beautiful light blue swords crossed, and in the tarot, they're the swords of peace. You know, it's the peace sign in the tarot. And I call it the third door, the swords door, and it's the doors into the great desert of uncertainty. And ironically, it's when I do like book signings or lectures with children or workshops, it's their favorite door. And I'm always amazed by that. Like, they don't know the story because they're just coming to meet me for the first time, and I'm going, isn't that amazing? The children are so attracted to the door into the great desert of uncertainty. And it's the most playful, you know, she meets this character that introduces her to laughing. And in the most, you know, right next to the crack of despair, right next to the well of unfathomable suffering. And she is laughing with this character. And, you know, and I didn't think to write this book. This book happened to me as much as it happened to Lily in this adventure. I didn't plan the book out. It just came as I wrote it. And I look back now and I see all the intelligence in it and the wisdom in it and the truths in it, you know, and it's amazing and teaching me still. But I can refer back to the Magic Gown and say, yeah, that's right. This is the place, this is the game changer. Embracing the unknown. It's like, and I know Golden Hawk and I sort of in a playful way, because a lot of what we do is playful, we talk about the game changer being the ability to stay in the hot kitchen, you know, and, you know, in some ways, okay, a desert can be very hot in the daytime but cools down in the night, but I didn't know that either when I wrote it, but it is actually The game changer is the ability to embrace the unknown and just, you know, create and you know, and just stay there. Don't leave.
Yeah, don't look to make it known. Don't look to make it known. Right. Actually continue to swim or, you know, just to float in the unknown in total trust.
And when you feel that, you know, the butterflies in your stomach or the nervousness or the pounding heart or the dry mouth or the, I'm not doing that, you know, or, or I don't want to go to dinner by myself, go to dinner by yourself. Do all the things that make you feel challenged, because that's the place where the unknown is waiting for you going, yes, 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 do it. You know,
yes,
and you won't believe it, because what happens is you're forever changed. You just are. I can't explain it. It's organic. It's great. And
well, I can explain it. Let me have part of what it is when we face our fears, we're not afraid anymore. There's so much the mind tells us is dangerous, but the actual experience of it is not dangerous. And it's like it's the elixir of courage is having the fear and doing it anyways. I mean, I can list you things like I've lived on the first floor, and I mean, my belief when I moved into that apartment in Bridgeport was, if you live on the first floor, there's a better chance you'll be robbed. I mean, that was the belief I went in with.
You're more vulnerable there, yeah.
You're more vulnerable, right. And, and here's the funny part, you know, here's some Goldie stories. Okay, in fact, I was just telling Punky this the other day. What I had done is I had set up an intentional waterfall of energy over the entire house. Now, I did call in Archangel Michael to do this, and I'm not recommending calling in angels anymore. This is all about go within. Call in an aspect of yourself or your own energy. But what I recommend is, I had put a waterfall, an intentional waterfall of light, that anytime somebody came into the house, when they walked through a door or a window, if they had negative intentions towards me, the cat, or the house, they would fall ill. I mean, it was kind of like a spell, to be quite honest. I enchanted the house.
Right.
Now, and here's the funny part. The house was two apartments, upstairs and downstairs, separated by an old staircase inside the house. John, my neighbor, he was a real low-key guy. I never locked the doors in between our apartments. We would, you know, see each other from upstairs to downstairs internally, you know, without doors being locked. We would knock, but they weren't locked.
Right.
And John got robbed three times, and my apartment wasn't touched. And that's a fact. Yeah, they went upstairs to take his TV, and it was your basic robbery of pawned items, you know, TVs, stereos, the stuff you can really turn over quick. They had total access to my apartment once they were inside John's apartment, and did not come in. And I really, because it was my belief, I went, well, as long as I have the, and I'm telling you, I had a roommate part of the time that I lived there, and he worked at a restaurant, and he was a real party guy, and he would bring these waitresses home that were, you know, all drunk and stupid, and a lot of times I'd hear him getting sick in the bathroom, and then they'd go, I gotta go, and I'd be in my room cracking up going, oh, okay, could be the alcohol, could be the intention. You know, I didn't know, I didn't care, I saw it, you know, manifesting as it just... The house supported me. I mean, we had rose gardens. We had rose bushes around the house. The bottom line, it was in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which my belief at the time was Bridgeport was a very, you know, it was the lower income housing area of my county. It was, you know, the slums and, you know, all the negative shit. And the truth is, I lived there for 3 years. I created an enchantment. I co-created the enchantment in this house, and I knew it. I knew it internally. The house wanted it as much as I did. I helped one of the dearest people on the planet, this a gentleman named Lewis, who was a closet homosexual and living in the, you know, in the lower income. You don't come out as a male gay. That You could literally die because of that. They were dying anyways over other things. But he went from being in a really dark space where he was always wanting to commit suicide to spending time with me in this enchanted house and environment where we just spoke freely and openly and, you know, we're just really honest. Very similar in the honesty and openness that I have with Simon, in that it's okay to be whoever you are. With Simon, he's a warrior. And, you know, with Lewis, you know, he was a warrior too, but he was a lover, and he was just so, he had never met anybody he thought he could trust, you know, coming out to him. When he came out, he just blossomed. He ended up moving out of the projects and moving in with a guy. He fell in love. He was so radiant in that his whole energy just, I mean, it popped, and the presence that Lewis yielded was just, like, phenomenal. Truly. I mean, this boy was, he was Christed. No lie. I mean, he was, it was just like, God bless. But, and I, so it was like, and it wasn't planned. It was just a mutual friendship.
Yeah.
It was just so, the word that keeps coming up for me is enchanting. And that is exactly what I, see, I'm finding it's not the house that's enchanted. I'm choosing the enchanted life.
Yes.
And listen, wait, I want to give out the number for the book, because I want to have all showed. If you guys want a free copy of The Magic Gown, this is a great book, signed by Janine, mailed right to your home. It's a wonderful gift to self. Please call. You got to call in. The number is 646-929-2084. And listen, you just have to share a happy new year, a happy holidays. If you want the book and you're shy and you're afraid to talk, just call in and say hello, and you'll get the book. I don't want anybody to not feel you could. This is a welcome space of being right now. So,
right.
You know, this is it's enchanting. The book is enchanting. You'll read it, you will feel the enchantment that me and Janine speak of, and you know, there's just nothing better than that. Not
that's
at this
a great
point
word.
In time. Yeah.
That's a great word.
Yeah.
Enchanted is it's different than magical, but it is. Yeah. So and so many of the you know, in the world, because actually, that's a great word to explain almost how I'm feeling about these days, is that it just feels enchanted in many ways. You know, I just feel it.
I totally get that. That's exactly what I'm feeling. It's, you know, because there is a magic at hand, and it's in the unknown. I don't claim to know how to yield it yet. I'm learning. I know that, and like I said, one of the things I know is the imagination, and the other thing I know is infinite trust, creativity. Something Carolyn May said, and when you get a chance, I emailed you that. The third part is just unbelievable.
Incredible.
Information.
Yeah.
Unbelievable information.
I'm going to listen.
Yeah, yeah. She speaks about the agony of having love to give, but nothing around to love.
Mm.
Now, I absolutely understand wanting to love and not having anything around. And when we talk about belief systems, simply because I have labeled something unloving. See, that's me cutting myself off from my own ecstasy.
Because
the ecstasy is, if you can love unconditionally, you love everything. You love all of it. And in the loving of all of it, there is an alchemy. Like, one of the things I got clearly today is when we can love and genuinely acknowledge with love the value of the dark as well as the value of the light, then it doesn't matter what's coming down the pike. Your ability to express your essence can't be thwarted. It can't be.
Also not living with a bias. Because, you know, because if we have an agenda or we're sort of living lopsided a little bit, we'll bias things. And then, you know, and we don't do it, you know, to be wrong or right. We just it's just natural that people we tend to bias things, and so when you give up that bias and you see things equally, you're dropping living in that one polarity, that one-sided polarity, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's all self-determined. It's like, it's us to choose, you know. It's really, it's not about, because I'm starting to so clearly get, I mean, I said this to Scott the other day. I go, you know, it's a good thing love comes from within, because I don't need you to love me. Because me and Scott have a very interesting relationship. I'm just going to dive into this a little bit. Scott doesn't really reveal emotions ever so clearly. He's got extreme emotions, but he holds a lot of it in. But I can feel his emotions. They're not expressed verbally. But what is really amazing is in my relationship and my dance with him, I have really learned that. But I can, anything I need emotionally, I can provide for myself. Mm-hmm. And when I'm providing it for myself, he really becomes, for me, the receiver. Because when you have the love inside you, and I'm talking about a love, this is not romantic love. This is energetic experience that must come out in creativity. You literally have to release it somehow, because you can feel it. It moves you. It inspires you. That's why when Robert Young says, do nothing but don't be lazy, I totally understand that, because when there is a frequency moving through you, you must do something with it. It's not a mental choice. It's a must that it's – ask any artist, ask any dancer, ask anybody who lives in passion, and they'll tell you they don't need to be coerced to move. They move because it feels fantastic when it's being expressed, and whatever the expression is that brings you joy. It can be in cooking, it can be in drawing, it can be in anything you want it to be in. And the preference is to be able to express it without the need of another person to be there, in the sense of you're not relying on them or how they're going to receive it in order to have the joy. The joy has to come simply from you expressing it, whether somebody receives it or not, secondary. What's primary is you can feel it in yourself, and without even thinking about it, you got to either, you know, take a hike in the woods, do some dancing, singing, creating, cooking, whatever, sewing. It doesn't matter. It really does. You know, writing. This is the new relationship that I'm realizing. You know, for most of, you know, my tenure, I was always looking for, you know, Walt Disney's Prince to quote-unquote come down and save me from my wretched life, because God knows I needed saving.
Yeah.
You know, and I am like going, au contraire, I don't need saving, I need expression. And then once you get that inside yourself, you'd be surprised how much, you know, forgiveness is not something you choose. Forgiveness is what you are, because you want people in your life. Like for me, it's almost like I love loving the beings that don't feel they're lovable at all. Like there's nothing more fabulous. You know, like, and I know it sounds like a judgment, but I have this attraction to people, like they're either drug addicts or they're, you know, they're gay in the closet, you know, where none of that stuff matters to me. You know what I mean? I can feel the presence of people. And truly, I don't care what they've done in their lifetime. That's not a decision for me to whether I love them or not. It's the presence that calls to my presence, and all I can see is their presence. And it's like, for me, becoming so clear, it's like, they're just present. You know, that's the rest is
right.
Armor that's falling away.
Well, what's amazing to me about that is, as you were talking, I was thinking of this dream. See, not my dream, but it's a great dream story about exactly what you're talking about, about the outward bring, like what you were saying about Scott, and then the love, bringing the love that's inside you is really the relationship it you know, it's the unconditional love of you by you that is the relationship that allows
yes.
you.
Okay, yes.
So but then the love that you're able to have for what you would perceive as the unlovable is outside of yourself is actually loving you.
It's loving
you.
Me.
Sense is unlovable, but the irony is there's no such thing as unlovable. So it's like this incredible, you know, the snake that sort of swallows the tail, and it's just this beautiful continuous story of, you know, as we love the unlovable, there's no such thing as unlovable.
It morphs into the lovable, right. No, it does. It does.
Here's this great story about the archetypes or the dream world information that we get or the incredible information that we receive. Okay, so I love this Jungian psychologist who's in his 90s now. His name is Robert Johnson, and he wrote He, She, We, Transformation, Ecstasy, The Femininity Lost and Found. And he's a really special person. And I've actually sent him the Magic Down book as a gift just to say, you know, I've loved your work. Well, Robert Johnson has an interesting story of his own. He lives in San Diego. And but he actually got to meet Carl Jung. And,
oh, wow.
Back in the day, because Robert Johnson's in his 90s now and Carl Jung's gone, but you know, he might have met Carl Jung maybe when he was in like 60s or something like that.
Nice.
So anyway, he got to tell Carl Jung this dream that he had of, and it sounds wild, but stay with me, everybody.
Okay.
He actually, in his dream, ate Albert Schweitzer. Now, Albert Schweitzer was his hero, his outward hero in the world. So he projected his own hero onto Albert Schweitzer because he admired him so much as a great human being. So Carl Jung, you know, of course, for me to be able to sit in a room with Carl Jung would be fabulous, and sometimes I just pretend I do. So, and maybe I really am.
I was
going to
say that's the imagination,
right?
Yep.
So anyway, Carl Jung said to him, "Well, that was a huge shift in your own personal development and transformation, because what happened was you took your hero and you went inward with it, and you became your own hero. You literally embody now your hero." So Albert Schweitzer, it's no longer outside of you. So
yeah.
I just literally, you know, and a client of mine shared that story with me as a reminder, because I've read the books that I've seen that dream, and I've read that dream, and Robert Johnson tells about the most incredible experiences with Carl Jung and his life in this DVD called The Golden World, which I love, and I share
nice.
With a lot of people. And, so I thought, well, you know, we do that. You know, that's what we do. We have all these incredible projections, whether they're, you know, biased and dark and light. But then we, you know, as we develop, we take them in, and then we're more embodied in ourselves. And then we're not looking out to the outer world to quote, you know, give us those archetypes. We embody them now. You know,
yeah.
We're the healers,
yeah.
The teachers. You know, so you are mastering, moving along, becoming, you know, the healer, the teacher, the warrior, which is the leader. The warrior is always the leader. And
disagree with that. I have found the warrior. It's the inner child that's leading right now. I mean, and
okay.
I've lived so many lives where the warrior was the leader. The only reason why I say that is because the divine feminine, in my humble opinion, not that she doesn't work through the warrior, because, I mean, obviously masculine and feminine work through all of them, but the divine child is the intuition and the kind of... she's not the biased one. She's just curious of what's coming out. In other words, my warrior is already biased to protect me. You know,
right.
She's a son of a bitch looking for a fight.
Okay. Well, in my, you know, warrior meaning not violent warrior or aggressive warrior, but a warrior.
Oh, okay.
No, it would be more like this. The warrior or the leader is a quality that has the ability to stand and speak the truth and, you know, and hold your own sort of, you know, stand there and just say what's so for yourself. That's, I mean, leaders do that all the time. They lead, quote, by example, you know, it's
right,
like
right.
lead by example. But no, I totally get, well, within every quality that I just mentioned is the divine child. I mean, because, you know, within every aspect of development, we are the divine child, and that is the person, I believe, who's creating, who's playing, who's discovering, who's moving into the unknown, because the
yeah.
child will do that, you know, in
right.
in its, quote, curiosity and innocence. So within every aspect of all those things, whether it's the hero, all of those have the divine child within them, you know? So
gotcha. Okay. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, not the warrior meaning, you know, the fighter.
That was my. I went biased, and see how quickly it gets out of balance. It's so true, but that's good. I like the banter to get more information on these. So good, right on.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
on.
Yeah. No, and you know, I couldn't be more. You know me. I am. So the divine child, the child, is, you know, that is pretty much who's leading me through. All
your main character. She's
all
your main character.
All these enchanted forests.
Exactly. Indeed. Well, and it's funny because the qualities, the archetypes, you know, Carolyn talks about it too in the thing I sent
yeah.
you guys, where she's talking about some of the old archetypes that we have to let go of because they don't apply to the multidimensionality of who we are. They you know, like I think a couple of the ones me and you discussed, or maybe it was me and Punky, about or maybe it's me and Simon. Sorry, I'm all over the place.
Sure.
Where that there's power in numbers, and you
yeah.
know, because. The sovereignty is, you know, I'm all about, you know, see, and again, these are statements that at different levels of awareness have different applicability
mm-hmm.
to our journey. So you can't even, the paradox exists. There is definitely safety in numbers on some levels, but on the ascension level, you know, my humble opinion is I'm going to ascend whether the rest of the planet does or not. You know, and I know there's a lot of people that go, we're all in this together. No. now what happens to me affects all of you, and what happens to you influences me. Uh-huh. But my ultimate choice is mine. It's mine to make. The choice is whether are you going to be courageous, Goldie? Are you going to walk into the uncertainty?
Yeah.
It's because it's an inside job. You can't take anybody with you. You can express to them the how you become because you've taken those jerseys.
Yeah. Ah, jersey.
There you go. It's a New Jersey thing.
Wait.
Yes, quick. We need to go to Jersey Shore. You know, but the truth is, our spouses, our best friends, from my experience, they can't go into the dark night of the soul with us. When we're doing that on our own, and then we're popping our heads out, so to speak, going, you know, we're coming up for air, and then we're just kind of discussing it with each other,
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
the strength that we're garnishing and the courage that we're garnishing and how, I mean, I know from my own perspective, I can feel myself on new timelines because
mm-hmm.
of choices that I've made, and these are timelines that, I mean, where I sit here, you know, what's today, the 19th or the 20th?
20th, I think.
20th, okay. So on December 20th, it is the 20th, okay, I can state with confidence I'm on an enchanted timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I am because it's showing up. Now, that's not to say that there aren't fractals of potentials within this enchanted, you know, in other words, it's not about getting to a destination and then we stop everything and we're done. You know, there is no destination, but there are definitely frequencies and there are definitely dimensions that as we hit those frequencies, dimensions open up for the potential for us to choose. There is a fail-safe in the cosmos that you don't get into the fifth dimension with polarity baggage. You know, so, you know, if you're experiencing any kind of, you know, where you're wanting revenge, you know, these are the things that feel really good, but they don't get you to the fifth dimension. I avenged a woman for 4 years. I mean, morning, noon, and night, I thought, ate, slept, getting this woman, terrorizing her, and bringing her down. And it was an exhausting period of my life. I mean, I thought I was a mental case on cocaine, but revenge is another whole drug in and of itself. But I believe many of us are going through it this lifetime, and you got to let it play out, because until it had run its course with me, which I did not make a conscious choice. There was a moment in my choosing that I had a clarity that said, okay, I don't want to avenge her anymore. I'm not revenging her because I'm exhausted. I mean, 4 years of working on hating somebody, just, you know, I had enough of that. I want more good things to happen in my life. So, but these are the types of things that, you know, you can't fake it, you know, like, people were coming up to me going, you know, Goldie, what are you doing? And it's like, get out of my way. I'm doing what I want to do. But because I've done that in my personal experiences, I also understand intensity. I understand the intensity right now of being enchanted as well. You know, it's like I've always said I might have gotten a lot of my talents in the dark aspects of who I am. But that doesn't mean they're not applicable now in the more joyful spaces.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know, let's not shame ourselves for wherever
we got our
wisdom.
That was great training. That was great. The ability to hold those spaces takes strength and, you know, a focus. And, no, it's all valuable.
For all of us. It is. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
I think, one of the gifts that we're getting right now is, you know that wherever you got your wisdom from, whether it's from the warrior life or from the victim life, pick an archetype from the prostitute life, it doesn't matter. You can't be shamed out of ascension. That's not the only one that can shame you out of ascension is you, is self. And if you look around and you start listening to all the quote-unquote magical beings that are sharing throughout the world right now, you'll see a lot of them have lived very dark time periods in this lifetime, very dark time periods.
Yeah, it's like knowing both sides, you know?
It's the phoenix, exactly. It's exactly what it is. We're knowing both sides, exactly.
Yeah, and also, I mean, any true adventure, which is our story, is that, you know, you typically have to walk those worlds, or you walk those places of darkness or challenge, they're as much a part of the journey as, you know, when you flip into a new place and you're feeling the enchanted world now. I mean, how you got to the enchanted world is by those places. So it's not like,
exactly.
And that was your path, but it's not like, oh, that was a mistake and now this is right. No, it's all a whole, you know?
Right.
I mean, I even said that to you about myself, that, you know, I don't regret any of my past because it got me to where I am today, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because this woman came up to me when I was doing this book signing, and she literally was, you know, I was at Whole Foods in New York City, and you know, I thought, oh, this will be a great book signing. Well, not one person came up to me, but this one lady, and she told me, you know, she she said, well, what are you selling? And I was like, oh, I have my book here. And, oh, what kind of book is it? I love to read. And I said, oh, it's a children's book. It's a fiction. It's an adventure. Oh, no, that's not for me, she said. Uh-huh. And she was like, yeah. She's like, oh, no, that's not for me. But she kept coming back to me and talking to me. And she said, oh, you know, I've had a hard life. And I said, oh, okay. And she started telling it to me, and it was a very hard life
in Eastern Europe.
And it was really, you know, a tragedy in a way. And then she had this heaviness and this sadness, but she wouldn't leave me. And she kept asking me more, oh, well, what is the story about? And then she said to me, oh, well, no, that's not for me. And then she says, yeah, and you know, I never smile. And by the end of the conversation, I had her laughing so hard. And she said, she goes, I looked at her and I said, I thought you said you never smiled. And she looked at me and she goes, you're contagious.
I love it.
I just laughed so hard because I thought, because when you were talking about enchantment, I'm going, yes, because when someone is enchanted, they are contagious, you know, in the most great way. And so, you know, if the only reason I was doing a book signing in New York City at Whole Foods was to enchant that woman.
Yeah, right on.
You know, that was it. That was it. That was the reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I got it too. And everyone was like, how's your book signing? I was like, great.
It was a total success. Exactly.
It was a total success. I enchanted someone who thought she was enchantable. And you know, and now I can share this story with other people about, you know, this woman told me I was contagious. And I don't really think, you know, I mean, I'm like, sure. You know, I'll be contagious. I'll make you laugh until you can't stop. Until you integrate.
I'll make you laugh until you integrate.
And truly, I guarantee you this woman, in all, whatever I got from her story and herself, I really don't think she had much of a childhood. But there it was. She was a little kid laughing with me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
right?
And it was great.
Nice.
It was great.
By the way,
that was about 4 years ago, and it might be the fourth time I'm telling this story, but guess what? She made an incredible impact on me.
Right on.
She affected me, and
she's never just one person enchanted, right? We're always, both people from the exchange, absolutely, both receive. Hands down, hands up.
Yeah.
What was the thing I said the other day to Funky? Hands down, feet up. You do the visuals.
I think that's the yoga position.
Okay. Screaming Hawk.
I think it's called Happy Baby.
What is it called?
Happy Baby.
Happy Daisy. I love it.
That is your yoga position.
That is golden. Yes, I would have called it Screaming Hawk, but hey, Happy Daisy works. It's much more family audience oriented. Yes,
family friendly.
Exactly. We're here to please at our 8 to 10 p.m. time slot.
that's a
fabulous story. And because one of the things I'm starting to understand too is this whole enchantment thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about enchanting ourselves and, you know, and seeing what we get, you know, what's being drawn to us, what's feeling invited, what feels comfortable in our field, you know, because this energy is so, I mean, you can't hold it in your hand tight. It's almost like sand. If you want to hold sand in your hand, you have to keep your palms open. The minute you squeeze hard, most of the sand will fall out. And this energy seems to follow very much that stream in creation, because, you know, many of us, the conditioning is all about, you know, we're going to force our way into this and make it work for ourselves, as opposed to the finesse and the grace and the trust. You know, these really aren't just... These aren't just virtues, you know, you know, that our mythical, you know, goddesses had, you know, qualities that they have, that in my humble opinion, these are the qualities of our men, of our women, of our children. In wherever it is we're being, you know, we're being morphed into, because the energy that's coming into this planet right now, it's coming to the whole solar system. It's coming into the whole cosmos. I mean, we're aligning with the galactic center. I don't claim to understand it or know, you know, how it's working, you know, like a definite thing. But I'm sensing from my own willingness to explore and experience it. You know, it's not about making plans. It's about spontaneity. It's about joy. If you're worried about it, it's almost like the worrying itself becomes a frequency that it's like it's repelled by it. The magic doesn't penetrate your experience if you're worried. And again, you know, it's like me and Janine were talking the other day going, a miracle is a shift in perception. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know if people can, you know, really grasp that statement, but a shift in perception takes nothing but self to create.
That statement, if you get it, is the same getting or feeling of moving through a doorway. It's what Simon said about moving through a doorway is just moving into another, what did he say, another reality?
That the doorway is open to both the inner world and the outside world. There's doorways to both.
Okay.
But yes,
no, but
new reality. So, yes.
Yeah, new reality, a different reality. It literally. I mean, like, it's not just like a fanciful thing. It's a literal thing to me.
Right.
And
right.
And in the same, on the same token, the a miracle is just a shift in perception. It's actually, quote, from the other perception that you move into. It's actually not a miracle. It's just that reality. That's, you know, so the miracle on this realm feels like, oh, a miracle. But when you shift into a new perspective, it's no longer a miracle. It's just, you know, quote, what happens. You know, it's like enchantment becomes all the time, every day. You know, if you pay attention, like, you know, I was equating this incredible enchantment I had, but I think that these are, quote, the new realities of when Drumvalo was talking about in this link that you sent, you put on your Facebook, when I started listening, Drumvalo was talking about how these two indigenous people who were so connected to Mother Earth, and, you know, that she's a being, that they needed to get out in the desert or somewhere to be alone, because there were too many people around and they just needed to be silent and communicate. And after a few hours, this little bird flew up and sat on one of the indigenous people's shoulders, and for about 10 minutes chirped in his ear.
Nice.
And then he looked at his friend, and in his language he said, tomorrow things are going to get pretty crazy, so we need to leave in the morning. And Drumvalo said they did. They left in the morning, and later on the group got really crazy because egos went wild and there was yelling and fighting. And these guys, knowing they had already been told by you know, the connection to Earth that it was time to leave, they weren't
going
to be a part of that. And
right.
I was thinking, you know, on the same, like, just this summer, I was running, and a little bluebird was sitting there coming around a path, and I just watched it for 10 minutes. And then I went home, and I Googled an image of the bluebird, and underneath the bluebird was this quote by Anais Nin that said, life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. And if I think about that, my communication with that bluebird was different than his communication. He literally got the chirping, and the chirping told him. But I went home, I also connected with the bluebird as he did with the bird, but in a different way. And I went home and I got a message, and the message was to be courageous, you know,
yeah.
to stay courageous. And
yeah,
and I did. And a month later, someone called me out of nowhere and said they wanted to come see me in therapy because they dreamt. And I said, oh, that's great. And literally, they did nothing about me, nothing about my dreams or this my experience. And they said, well, yeah, I had this dream about a bluebird and something just said to call you. And, and I'm thinking, well, there's the communication. Now, the interesting thing is, you could look at that and go, whoa, is that's enchantment, that's miracle. Actually,
definitely.
It's like,
definitely.
It's right. But this becomes our communication. I
right.
mean, this is the way we are now functioning.
This is becoming the norm.
This is becoming the norm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like you may see like, okay, I'll just remind you, the white squirrel.
Yeah, that's right.
The white squirrel. That was a communication.
That was a communication.
Yes, it was.
Well, and it yes, it was. Yes, our little friend. We called him Scott, the little white squirrel.
Scotty the squirrel.
He was Scotty the squirrel. No, but then I remember when I posted it on my Facebook, I mean, I knew something, there was an energy around it because there was like 56 people that liked it, and that's
yeah,
just a lot of people usually. It was an unusual amount, a high volume of people responding and resonating with, you know, this little white squirrel, which, by the way, was not albino. It had a few black
no.
spots, and it had black eyes. So
right, so there was a communication, and look
yes.
how many people responded.
Exactly.
You know, right.
Surprisingly so. I was like, wow.
Yeah. So this is like, for me, okay, so to me, this is like the new paradigm, you know, and it's not new to many people, but it's becoming more everyday for you, for me, you know.
Right.
And in fact, as I'm learning more, like just listening to Drumbo tell that story, and then I thought of the bluebird, and now, and now I just thought of your squirrel, and I go, this stuff is happening. It's just, are we paying attention? And the
right.
answer is yes. You
right.
know, yes. But by hearing these things, you learn, it almost reinforces, okay, you know, yes, pay attention. This is the enchanted life, you know.
Yeah, it's the realm of the subtle.
Yeah.
It really is. And
yeah.
and if you're connected, well, and it's not if you're, we're all connected, we can be unconsciously disconnected, meaning we believe, it's a belief. It's just a belief. You could never be completely disconnected from nature. I mean, all you have to do is look at even the science of it. We're made of what nature is made out of. You know, we're
mm-hmm.
nature,
yeah.
you drink water, you eat food, you know, I mean, you breathe air. These are the natural elements. So there's not a mental thing you have to do to get yourself connected, other than say, choose it. I choose now to remember my connection, and by that intention, it will show up in your life on a daily basis. And the more you utilize it and listen to it, it's almost like the communication becomes really the conversation becomes deeper.
Yeah.
And it because I really, you know, I'm guided by trees that have fallen down on the path to the Mother Earth chamber, you know, saying, you know, oh, okay, there's going to be some resistance on my journey. You know, you just start learning the analogy and the archetypes and how it's all applicable. It makes
yeah.
sense. And it really does make sense. You know, and then if you're blessed, you'll have somebody who you can share these conversations with that inspire you to get it more. Because that's what I find. I have inspirational conversations with Janine. I mean, where in her wisdom, when I'm in conversation on the phone with her, it's like I'm tapping into both of us. And, I mean, so I am now privy to the wealth of experiences Janine has experienced, and not just in this lifetime, in all of her timelines, because that's another quality of the expanded, enchanted, multidimensional aspect, you know, where, you know, the telepathy, where, and it's not just mind to mind, it is cell to cell, it is energy to energy, frequency to frequency, you know, I mean, time and space have nothing to do with any of this. It has to do with, you know, are you open to living an enchanted life right now? Are you open to it being magical? And if you're open to being it magical, you know, are you willing to actually make choices in this dimension that aren't logical but very magical? Because
you're gonna
be presented with choices that are gonna challenge the logic. And I have a strong attraction to, the more I trust the magical, the more powerful the magic becomes. I mean, that is,
yeah.
I sense that, and Carolyn Mace talks about that as well in that, I'll figure out a way to post this, everyone, so, in her talk that she did in Morocco. But, you know, it can't just be what you know in your mind, but your actions are, but I'm still working a 9-to-5 job and I hate it, or I'm in a, you know, a relationship that, you know, is not serving me, or I'm not choosing to look at my shadow side. And, you know, if there's still stuff that's going on in your life, and if you have somebody bring it up and you're like, you know, don't talk about that, I don't want to talk about that. Okay, those aren't the qualities of an enchanted life.
You know? Well, you know, but the thing is enchantment, you know, that the message that the bluebird gave to me was that life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. So what is the act of courage? Is it leaving wrong placement? You know, is it leaving something that's not working for you, or, you know, where the ceiling's too low, as I always put it, you know.
Simon said the same thing. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like the ceiling has to lift, or, you know, we're going to be bent over for the rest of our lives, you know. And it's like,
yeah.
Or, you know, I always say, oh, the garage door is open, the car's out, you know. It's like, I just think that, you know, the courageous act, which is really the act of the heart, is, you know, I know it can be frightening, but the nervousness is actually a really good sign, because that's the tip off. If you're nervous, it's because it's unknown, and the unknown is where is where you want to go.
Exactly.
You know, and so once again, it's back to encouragement, you know. It's like,
well, this is a spiral, though. I mean, it goes against a lot of conditioning, and I understand the conditioning, as well as I understand that the encouragement is happening from within you. It's like, you know, everybody knows that voice in their head when it starts telling you, you know. Like, I know from my own experience, my voice had said, it's time to change. You know, it starts nudging you, and then it just starts bugging the shit out of you. This inner voice that just really won't let you go on doing life as, you know, the status quo that you've been doing it. In my humble opinion, it must start that way almost, where it's coming from within, and it's usually driven from, you know, a deep space of pain. The pain is what, you know, drives us to go, there's got to be a different way. There's just got to be. Because if this is all it is, I mean, this was my words, if this was all it is, I'm out. I'm done. I don't want to be here anymore. You know, I was very much like...
Well, that's because you're not.
Well, exactly. But I didn't know that other than... Something inside me was telling me, you know, kind of that whole thing, you know, that saying, what is it, it's insanity to keep doing the same thing expecting a different result.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There is that wake-up call that says, you know, I mean, because I literally, when I chose to clean up my act and not sell coke or do coke anymore, the doorway I walked through was a collegiate. I signed myself up in college. So I went from literally, you know, hanging out with druggies to hanging out with college students. And I had not been in a school in 18 years. And in high school, the last 4 years of my education prior to college, I was pretty much, you know, out and about smoking pot and skipping school all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, so my whole concept of going back to a space of collegiate, you know, like, I felt incredibly insecure, incredibly out of, like, out of time and space, but only because from my conditioning of the drug world. But see, I had a knowing inside of me, listen, you were really smart prior to high school. Like, I knew I could do good grades relatively with ease. Academic intelligence has always come very easily to me. Studying, I can do it. Now, I was definitely not comfortable in the beginning, but that's almost why I purposely went into college, because it was like exactly the opposite, you know, from the drug world that I had just spent the last 12 years in. This was discipline and structure, and, you know, they wanted me to use my mind. Believe me, nobody in cocaine circles wants you to use your mind. they just want babbling idiots who are going to continue to throw out drugs. College really got me using different parts of my brain and my body and my mind, and it was fabulous. And it was fabulous for what it was, and then it was like, you know, after I graduated, my father's like, are you going to go on? And it was like, no, this is, I didn't need to play in the world of a bunch of letters after my name. That's just my humble opinion. It took me 5 years to get a two-year degree, because it wasn't about necessarily the degree, even though that That was a goal, but it was just about, I needed to be in structure for 5 years because I knew what I needed, and I knew I was good at that. So I wasn't good at the rest of life at that point. I didn't know how to socialize, so the classroom had an immediate, you know, I was making friends simply because I was in early childhood classes with them. You know what I mean? It's like, change can be challenging, but there's something within us that goes, it's time. It's time, and it's so wonderful to surrender to your own time, your own, you know, little turkey popper, the little temperature thing that pops. If you surrender to your own thing, your own popping and your own divine timing, you'll find that, is there challenges? Of course there's challenges. This is not, we do not come to the third dimension to not experience challenges. But what's more than that is, experience the challenges, get through the challenges, and then experience the confidence of, wow, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I can grow like that. I can literally change my entire experience from one level and playing field to a completely new level playing field. Nothing is standing in our way other than the belief that we can't. That is the only thing that stands. I don't care what, you know, and it doesn't have to be college. It can be anything you want. I mean, anything.
I remember, I was telling you this the other day, but it's just appropriate right now. You know, it's funny how there's a part of us that already knows when we need to sort of move on and,
Take
another path, because I remember in 1989, you know, I wrote this poem that, you know, seemed relatively not, you know, intense, but it just said that I could no longer play it safe this way. And
nice.
And then it was interesting because it was a year later that the way I was living, the marriage I was in, it just all started to not come apart, but it just started to shift. And that was unpredictable to me, but yet I had written a poem that somehow did predict it, because I was living with the ceiling too low, I think, for myself. And I think my soul knew it, and so that poetry was sort of a language almost coming out of me to tell me, get ready, because things are going to change. And
right on.
Yeah, and it wasn't easy, but I wouldn't have it any other way now, you know.
But truth be told, could you even not go with the change? You know, I mean.
No, right?
You can't even stop it.
It unfolded the way it unfolded, and as everybody knows, you know, these things are hard because we go kicking and screaming sometimes, you know.
Exactly.
But I did. But I called myself on it without even knowing it.
That's the funny thing.
And so, yeah, so it was myself encouraging myself.
Exactly.
You know, and, right. And so there it is. There it is, you know. It's like we have empirical evidence, you know.
Right on. Bring on the empirical evidence.
Here's the soul telling her she is no longer going to live this life. No, so, you know, it's so funny because, and you know, it's just amazing to me because I look back and I just go, oh, my God, it's so amazing. And, you know, now the world is illuminated and enchanted and, you know, and
having that same wake-up call happening to them. I mean, that's real. I believe, like, we went through it a little bit earlier. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that we're going to stop going through it, but because we've had a little practice,
mm-hmm.
it's really just about kind of sharing the wisdom that, you know, what feels like, well, we talked about this earlier today or yesterday, the death, you know, the death of the old beliefs to be rebirthed in the new, the old identities exactly.
Of who, you know, who I was, who was Janine, what did she do, and it just, you know, it was all falling away, and it was great, but it was scary, and
yes.
But you know, and I have to say that was 89, and then it would be 93 that I found the magic gown, and then it would be, then I made all those initiation art pieces from 95 to 98, you know, and then it was like what I was moving, you know, but
yeah.
And I did want to say to people that you had mentioned the word worry before, and it reminded me that an infinite trust and me with my initiation art, and we've talked about this before, but I know someone right now who's making their second piece of initiation art, and they're making a worry doll because and that was their doing, that they gave it that title because this was a letting go of a pattern of worry. And what the way I see it with initiation art, and this is all, once again, like Golden Hawk says, it's a self-creating, self-possessed process that you are literally, it's a internal, you know, internal kind of energy that you're creating, and it's an ally to foster this place. And for this person, this is a releasing of worry in a creative process. And now this worry doll will probably be this ally in no longer living in a place of worry and anxiety. And I just thought, you know, wow, that's amazing because that's the second piece of initiation art, because this person is ready to move into a new place, which is confronting the fact that there's too much worry in her life, you know. It's time to let that go. It's holding her back.
Right.
And so this little worry doll that was her idea will help her do that. And I just think that's amazing. I think it's amazing. And I laugh, you know, because I've got this image of a worry doll. somehow this worry doll to me is comical. I don't know why, but it just must be. So, but you know, there's all this internal self-sufficient ability to move ourselves through these processes. And
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the only place you're going to find it. We're not, and that's a, it's a weird thing because you know, it's like the Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
You go through the whole yellow brick road, you know, you deal with the demons, the witches, you deal with the darkness and the, you know, whether it's courage or having brains or
yeah.
you know, what
right.
was the other
one? Right, clearly we're all aspects of her, you know.
Well,
I mean,
exactly. No, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet at the end, you know, the fairy prince, or the Glenda, the good fairy goes, all you had to do was click your heels three times. And she's like, why didn't you tell me? And she goes, because you wouldn't have believed me, dear.
Right. Right. And then the irony is she was always home. And then the amazing
yes.
thing is Dorothy is integrated with all those aspects of herself that, you know, were outside of her, which was the warrior without courage, the person who needed heart, and
that was
you know,
right.
yeah,
and not
right?
feeling smart enough. Yes,
yeah.
no, absolutely, and then not feeling smart enough. I mean,
yeah.
and so, I mean, literally, this life of enchantment is that I totally understand doing the journey of the yellow brick road. I mean, I was on my yellow brick road for, I mean, pretty much. 16 years shy of 4 months, you know, I mean, for whatever the reasons, I was ready to hear George Kavassalis go, you know, listen, you don't need your mind. I don't know why it was that moment, but as soon as I heard his interview, and then, of course, I listened to 100 more interviews that he did, and, I mean, one of the things I got last night was when I heard the replay, the rebroadcast of me and Janine's interview in 2010, it was so obvious to me that the words I was using and the things I was saying and, you know, even the concepts that I had, they were so mental-based, you know. Mm. And it's like, I mean, you know, I was laughing because I was driving to Scott's after my nanny gig was up, listening to the show for a little bit, then talking to Janine going, oh, my God. You know, I'm just rubbing my forehead going, oh, my God, I uh-huh. have changed, you know, and... And but you know I wasn't ashamed of it. I
was
just
no,
like,
it was,
wow,
it was really beautiful, actually.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah,
well,
because
it felt beautiful. It was just a matter of, I was so clearly I can see being on the yellow brick road, and I now know I can click my heels three times. I am ready to not need a process in my life in order to have doorways opening to new realities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for that simply because, for me, it took me 16 years of processing it. You know, that's my truth. And I don't have any regrets about those 16 years because
no.
it is. You know,
that's
it's not
right.
about regretting what is. It's but I can clearly see just in my dialogue and how I share things, who I am, what I'm experiencing personally in my own life. It's like, oh, I have definitely dropped into the heart. And believe me, I still have so many layers
mm-hmm.
still yet to go to really feel the depth of what every moment has to offer. I mean, because that to me is what we are awakening to. We're not awakening to the horizontal of more. We're waking to the vertical of the feeling more in each moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, it's like you know that the. What was it that I kept referring to the walnut, and it was like the walnut got cracked open and the tree grew. What was that? That and then we had so much fun because I went to see the Nutcracker this weekend.
I forget.
Like, and I was like, oh, okay, so I'm getting even more cracked open, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is. You are a walnut. You are a diamond walnut, Janine.
Right, right. But it was so great because there was something about. I just felt.
I remember you saying it. I just don't remember the reference.
Yeah, no. And it was like a tree could, you know, literally out of a cracked open little breaking the heart.
Oh, an open heart is a broken heart. Is an open heart.
Yeah, a broken heart into an open heart, like the nut that gets the crack,
exactly.
the nutshell open, cracked open, and then grows a tree.
Yeah.
And, of course, once again, that tree that we use so much for the Mystical Mother Earth show is the heart. It's the heart of the land. It's the tree with the door. And, yeah, and so we've been having fun calling me the walnut. And then I thought it was hysterical that I went to see the Nutcracker in New York City, which was so beautiful, you know, I mean, in every way, the music, the dancing was impeccable and amazing, and
nice.
The
nice.
Grace and the balance, and then the art as the background, everything was amazing about it. And I got to meet this little 10-year-old ballerina named Claire, and she was a toy soldier and an angel in the show. And I got to say hello to her and give her a little gift. And that was amazing, just to meet this child who, to me, embodied excellence and passion. Because
nice.
You don't get to dance the Nutcracker at Lincoln Center unless you're really good. And you don't get really good unless you practice a lot. And
yeah.
you practice a lot because you love what you do. And she does. And, you know, I was inspired by this little girl. I just was like,
nice.
Wow. Yeah,
nice.
I mean, she's... Yeah, so there I was at the Nutcracker and getting cracked open even more.
cracking up the whole way there and the whole way home.
yeah.
That's awesome. Way to create a crack up. It's a crack up session.
Yeah, and by the way, that story is completely a beautiful enchanted story about a little toy that a little girl holds like it's a baby, because this someone threw it down kind of in anger, her brother, I think. And this magician kind of puts an enchanted spell on the little toy Nutcracker, and it comes alive. And then this whole beautiful enchanted story about the sugar plum fairy and all this, you know, candy comes alive in this beautiful pine forest, which if anyone knows my art, I am obsessed with pine trees.
Stand up, Janine. My name is Janine. I'm obsessed with pine trees.
Yes. And they're purple and pink, and they're every other color, but, you know, the colors they're supposed to be. But, yeah, so this whole story, story is enchanted, which I guess is the theme of tonight, because, which I love.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea we'd end up in this place.
We now know where we're going to end up. That truly is the beauty of
it. And now, you know, we're all back in the shimmering forest, enchanted, and, you know, eating some diamond walnuts. So, no, it's just amazing. And so, the music and the story was incredible, and, you know, brings you into your child again. And, you know, the whole place was filled with adults and some children, and we were all children together because it was incredible. So, anyway.
You know, it's so funny. When you explain your experience with the Nutcracker,
yes.
That's my experience with you.
What?
Oh, that you're enchanting, you're beautiful, you're timing. It brings me back to my childhood. I mean, it's just amazing to me. That's what I mean by that cog on the wheel where it almost feels like, whatever you were experiencing when you were there, and you know, I mean, me and Janine pretty much talk basically on a daily basis, you know, unless there's something going on, like she goes into the city to see the Nutcracker. And it's so interesting, though, because when we're not, quote-unquote, you know, either on the computer or the phone conversing with each other, my connection doesn't end. And, you know, it's like when I say that how I'm describing you, it's also in your enchantment of what you're experiencing, energetically, I'm experiencing that with you. I mean, this group of ours is growing. It's like there's no, you know, oh, you love me more than you love him and he loves her. And it's like, no, this is just all of us
Yeah.
Kind of in our own enchantment. Again, because I keep going back to this is about sovereignty. We are, we find our own space and then share it, because what else are you going to do when your cup runneth over? It's sharing because you can't, it's an abundance. You don't need to hoard any of this, because there's never the sense that it's not going to be there. It's becoming clear to me. What we were saying at the beginning of the show, the reason why the other shoe can't drop is because it's not artificially created outside of me. I'm tapped into the river of life, and it's not showing up as a physical something outside of me. It's not showing up as, you know, a money or a client, or it's showing up as the virtues that give me, you know, the perspective that life is enchanted and I'm in an extraordinary place with extraordinary people, you know, like experiencing your enchantment. I mean, I'm experiencing things that Simon's experiencing. I'm experiencing things that Punky's experiencing, things that are Scott, you know, it feels good.
Well, you know, there's two things that come to my mind is, one is that is the beauty of, or the magic of, or the power of a storyteller, and we're all storytellers, but when you're embodying your story, when you are literally, like, you know, feeling your story, embodying your story, and you share that story, that's what storytellers do. They bring you in to the story.
Yeah.
And so that's so great, because you're feeling it, and, you know, when we tell our stories, that's the power of it. And so that's why it's such an old art and an old, you know, storytelling is, and it was always verbal, it was always oral, that, you know, they told stories. And that's how people were changed by stories, you know. And why you said, you know, you don't have to worry about being jealous, or, you know, oh, you get told, you know, you're telling them more than me. No, and this is a great thing in the magic gown that I'll share, that in the tree, the fourth door, which I keep talking about tonight, the point of no return.
I'm going to post a picture right now. Yeah, I'm going to post a picture right now.
The point of no return. It's the fourth door. It's the heart of the land. Well, this is, I'm going to give away part of the story, and from that tree, you get this incredible honey called spring tree honey. But the secret is that it never runs out. No matter how much you give away, it never runs out. So that is what Golden Hawk just talked about, is the true analogy of why in the story the little girl gets this little bag of honey she wears around her neck, and of course it's right over her heart, but the honey never runs out, and it's the secret. And, you know, figures out the secret, she is, you know, of course, delighted that, but even before she knew that it never ran out, she was giving it away, and, you know, it was incredible. And that's exactly what this essence is. It never runs out. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And that's what sharing does, and that's what storytelling does, and that's what, you know, enchanting people does, and, you know, so that's truly the
analogy.
Yeah,
I want to share a comment from Simon. Simon, I'm sharing more. He wrote it right underneath, because it's right on what you're talking about.
Okay,
and he
said,
he goes, yeah, inner, outer, upside, inside. New perspectives create programs of vibrations to go with. Doesn't matter what you call it. It's all the same to me and you. But I must laugh because it's so hard to explain these things. But it's really fun to try and then explain what I saw happen. I'm experimenting a lot with this, but the really tangible spot comes out of sharing it with someone somehow. It's pretty much like walking into a room you have never been in with a blindfold over your eyes. That's the artist rendition. See, I like hanging out with artists because their ability to know or to express, like you were saying, from the storytelling point of view, you know, he describes things. When he describes things, I'm there. Whatever he describes, just like when I read a book, I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
Well, you're pulled in.
I am pulled in because it's like there's an understanding of, you know, like what George was saying, you know, that we're going into each other's universes to learn your essence and how, and we wouldn't be attracted. The law of attraction brings us, in other words, our souls see each other. We get attracted to somebody's essence because that essence will help us on our journey and in our essence.
Yeah.
So we get pulled in, and this, I think, has a lot to do also with vulnerability. Because,
yeah.
you know, the being vulnerable, when you're a sovereign being, it's almost like vulnerability almost becomes kind of humorous because it's there's a knowing, the paradox is you know that that being that you're being pulled into has something to offer you, and yet it's something that's from my, it's already in us. It's just that
right.
they're going to help
right.
us kind of trigger it out of us or not trigger, you know, stimulate it within our experience. And it's like, so we're meeting all these different people that have, we have dormant experiences waiting to happen. And I know a lot of people say that the mm-hmm. internet is a mental tool and that there's not, you know, people are hiding from real relationships. Quote, you know, like they're mm-hmm. doing internet relationships, and that's about, you know, people aren't meeting face to face. I can only speak for myself on this subject, but I can tell you that the experiences that I'm having mm-hmm. are energetic and they're real. I mean,
I
am integrating, you know, and I'm not saying that it should be your only source or it doesn't. I'm just saying the relationships that I have. And I'm also, you know, totally open to that relationships may come and go. You know, this is, it's in the moment. You know, it's like, I just know right here, right now, the people that I'm dancing with
are
rocking my world. I mean, and like anything else in life, change shifts things, and you don't know what's going to happen. It's not about, you know, I've really learned not to hold on to people in relationships. It's funny because I never realized that this would actually be a training of some sort.
Yeah.
But it seems that, you know, there's that saying, you know, people come into your life from, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I'm kind of just throwing this into the mix. I don't believe that the people that I'm drawing into my life are going anywhere right now. It's just a whole notion of none of us are hanging on like, you know, you got to save me. You got to save me. It's really just a matter of, wow, I've had these total insights. Can I share them with you? And, you know, everybody else in the group is going, sure, I've had insights too. Can I share them with you? And it's like, oh, wow, absolutely. You know, it's what I really believe is the true community, communing.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and this feels very new to me. So.
Connection's connection, and they could have said that about letter writing. And I think, you know, being a writer myself, I mean, I have met one of the most important people in my life through email, and we ended up writing a book together that'll be out in May, and it's the most beautiful relationship, and you know, I know there was many a relationship in the 1700s and the 1800s that were of the deepest connections through letter writing. So I always say, you know, connection is just connection, and yes, being in the physical is wonderful, but that's not the only way to connect, you know? So
it's not the only way, exactly.
I don't have a bias about how we connect.
Me either.
You know,
I go by the feeling and the sensation.
You go by the feeling, you know? And I would never say, oh, it's just this way or that way. It's always, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
right on. Well said.
It could be, you know, via Bluebird.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, it's funny because, you know, I tend to kind of go, oh, I'm not going to go to that technology. You know, technology is not the organic way. But I mean, I cannot share with you how grateful I am for technology.
But the heart is the organic way. So, you know.
No, and it's guiding me to share with on technology. Yes.
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 And look, I feel so grateful and lucky to be able to share my images with people all over the world because
of
the internet.
Right on.
And
exactly.
You know, that's beautiful to me.
Right on.
You know,
right on.
I used to call, like, back in the day when, before any of this, I used to just call, like, information, like, in, like, over in like Washington State, just to like hear somebody from Washington, I was like, oh, I can't believe it's 3,000 miles away. I mean, so, you know, I always love to connect with people all over the world, all over the country, and now we can, you know, even more. And I personally love it. So, you know.
No, it's wild. It's totally, I love it too. Sorry, I was commenting to Simon and I didn't hear what you were saying. You caught me.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I was just saying there's always to communicate all over the world, and I feel really grateful that I can send my images and we can discuss them.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
I think it's wonderful.
And it's the world is getting smaller. I mean, that is one of, because our awareness is expanding. As we expand in awareness, because I'm starting to really realize, especially like on days that me and you might not speak to each other,
right,
how much I'm still connected with you. And I'm also getting that, I'm getting that sensation with Simon as well. I mean, it's just, I can feel these things. I can still feel polar bear. You know, I can feel Scott. I'm just starting to shift and recreate my beliefs around time and space. You know, it used to be, you know, I can affect somebody if I'm standing in the same room with them. I can clearly tell you that belief, I have flipped that one, you know, right on its head.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Janine, you have affected me in deep ways. I've never sat in the same room with you. I mean, not in the third dimension.
See?
And I think part of the reason why we haven't, quote unquote, done that yet is so we can share that this can actually take place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm having a love affair with you. And I'm not ashamed to say it.
How lucky am I?
I love you, babe. The luck is both ways. Believe me. The blessings flow both ways.
Yes,
but I think
do.
It's really important, you know, it's so magical right now. It's so mystical. I just, you know, unfortunately we're going to have to end this.
Wow. All right.
I know. Well, but I do want everybody to know that, boy, I don't want to end it. That's what I want. Of course we have to end it. Well, I guess the timeline says we have to end it, but, you know,
yeah,
we really don't have to end
it.
That's
funny.
Well, it's us. You know, it's the magic is so, it's so freely being received if we allow it.
Yeah.
And abundantly the morphing of that which was just, you know, in one door is opening 1,000 other doors in other realities and dimensions, and not from a space that you need to run away from this dimension. It's through our beloved Mother Earth, through her, that the fifth dimension is opening up. That's my experience, and I want for everybody to experience this. This is not something you would ever want, you know, to hoard and not have other people share. You want everybody to experience this.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think Simon can hear us anymore, but I want to thank
him. No, yeah, he just, I am.
I wanted to thank him. So,
well, thank him, and I'll tell him, you know, he'll listen to the archive. He'll catch the last 15 minutes.
We'll have to get his address so I can send him a signed copy of the Magic Hand.
Oh, my God, you read my mind. I swear, because I think we should send Simon, because I don't know what, you know, exactly. Okay, can I write that to him? I'm going to write that
to
him.
Yeah, and then tell him to, you know, private message you.
Yeah, which is what he's done.
Yeah, private message you his address, and then I'll send him a signed copy, and that'll be wonderful.
Okay, I will. Please send me your address. Janine wants to thank you and send you a copy of her book.
Great.
A signed copy. A signed copy, yes.
Yeah. And
you rock,
babe. Maybe there's a few other people here that commented we could do that too. But we'll see.
And if you want, yes, we can. I was going to say that as well. We can still have the offer up this week if you want it, until we reach a number that you're comfortable with.
Absolutely.
Okay, because indeed. The gift of giving. There's no timeline on the gift of giving.
No, not at all.
It's a beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. No,
oh, he says awesome. His response to that was awesome.
Oh, great. All
okay,
right.
So,
well, this has been fun.
Yes, this has been enchanting. I mean, I get to hang out with, you know, the princess of the enchanted forest, Jeanine Kimmel, and Siren, the prince of the Norway forest. And Goldenhawk, the prince of Devil's Den.
Right.
So great. So everybody who's a part of the Mystical Mother Earth show, you know, allow me to give you many blessings, you know, wish you nothing but joy and awareness and anything you need and everything you need to really embody your soul's journey. Because, you know, once you're in that alignment, no matter what challenges that come your way, you know the purpose. It's serving the purpose, and that purpose is beautifully self. It's an amazing corner to turn, and it just changes everything. And it's happening naturally, so it's really just about surrendering and allowing it to be part of your experience. So I love you guys. I love you. Thank you for sharing your time and your energy and your frequency with us. And Jeanine?
Thank you. And I encourage everybody to walk through the door into the unknown and be enchanted. And thanks for listening. And thank you, Golden Hawk. It flew by tonight. It flew by tonight.
It did fly. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
So, all right. Well, be talking to you guys next week.
Yes. And Thursday night will be Robin Marvel for the another reality show, Christmas special, whatever. Christmas show or holiday show. All right. I love you all.
I love you guys.
Yeah. Jeanine, I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Namaste, everybody. Take care. Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Wait. Wrong thing. Hey, where's my...
Oh.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
We had a laugh and sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, I'm